The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome to Ask an Atheist Today, where a rotating cast of atheists gives you the opportunity to ask and discuss topics of interest on the radio and online at askanatheist.tv. We accept phone calls at 253-584-1480. My name is Becky, and our cast today involves Sam. How are you doing, Sam?
Pretty good. How are you?
And Kate.
I'm very well. How's everyone out there today?
I'm hoping our listeners are pretty good. We had some nice spring weather earlier this week. It's a little rainy today, but I think that that shouldn't bother us atheists one bit. Again, if you'd like to call and ask us any questions, Sam, Kate, or Becky, we're taking your calls all the way this hour until 4 o'clock at 253-584-1480.
All right. Well, first off, we should probably get to our usual topic, I think.
Oh, our usual countdown to backpedaling. Sam, Kate, did you know that it's 55 days until the backpedaling begins?
55 whole days?
I have so much I haven't done yet.
Yeah. I haven't climbed a mountain or received any tablets or anything yet. So am I actually in the loop on this one? I'm
not sure, but it is 54 days until family radio proponents claim that Jesus will return, but 55 days until we at Ask an Atheist believe that the backpedaling will begin.
Yeah. Again, we're counting down not until May 21st, but May 22nd, the day after, in which we believe that the excuses and weirdness that you expect when, as usual, the end of the world does not arrive begins to happen.
I understand there are a number of parties planned around the world.
Oh, we got a big one planned, and we're talking to some local organizations about it, and I can't divulge much because we're still looking for putting the details together, but I can promise music, I can promise merriment, and it will be under the We Can't Know banner. So, again, we can't know, not we can know.
Family Radio does have their websites and billboards and car wraps proclaiming that they can know and that they absolutely do know that Jesus will return. But we at Ask an Atheist have our sister page, wecantknow.com, that Sam has so wonderfully set up. We've also been asking over the last week or two if you, our listeners, spot any of these car wraps or billboards, snap a photo of yourself in front of it, send it our way, put it up on, you know, your Facebook or up on Photo Bucket, provide us a link. And we've actually heard from Mike in Wellington, New Zealand, who has spotted a billboard. Thanks, Mike. Mark in New Jersey spotted a billboard on New Jersey Highway 47 in Franklinville. Leslie from Virginia spotted a man holding We Can No End Times sign in Warrenton.
I have seen people on I-5 over, I think, exit like 151 or 152 up by your school holding religious signs over I-5. I guess it's a bit cheaper than an actual billboard, but...
Perhaps. I didn't know that that this is the first time in this last week that we've been gathering evidence that people aren't just looking at billboards and car apps, but making their own handmade signs.
Yeah.
And Leslie, so Leslie found one in Warrenton. Carla actually just emailed us last night or this weekend. She's in New Jersey, and she provided us with some links about a gentleman funding 6 billboards in Cumberland County.
Wow.
And also putting a big car app around his RV. So
as our resident internet specialist here, Kate, for those of you who might not know, Kate is Bionic Dance on YouTube.
Thank you. Yes.
And how has the internet been facing the We Can Know campaign?
In all honesty, at least on YouTube, because I can really only speak for YouTube, people are largely ignoring it.
Oh.
At least the people I'm subscribed to.
Fair enough.
Although I have to say I've been very tempted to make a video saying that if anyone out there believes in this stuff, that it's really going to happen, I will happily take all your stuff, sell your possessions, sell your house, send me the money. I have a PayPal account.
I do like houses, if you have one you need to get rid of. You know, that sort of thing. We've played that little game before. Now, we shouldn't make too much fun, because there is some serious psychological issues with some of these folks. Some of them are just true believers. But and like we talk with Rich, the division between somebody who's a true believer and somebody who's got something wrong with them is sometimes a very vague border.
Yes, yes, it is.
And one of the things that we've been concerned about is for the people that have given up their possessions and moved into their RVs and have maybe sold off a lot of their items and disconnected with some of their family networks. And what is going to happen? We joke about backpedaling beginning of, oh, I need to make some excuses about why Jesus didn't actually show up this day. But we are concerned for the people that, well, really have to, will have to reconfigure their lives at that point.
And, well, that's happened several times before. And strangely enough, new religions have resulted from these mistaken end-of-the-world scenarios.
Yeah. I have one more email from Jason from Savannah, Georgia, and this one was kind of a fun one. He said, hey, guys, I am a new listener to your podcast and fellow atheist way over here in Savannah, Georgia. Hi, Jason. I frequent the Jacksonville Jaguars football games, and at one of these games last season, while leaving the stadium, there were many of these We Can Know people handing out flyers. So it's not just billboards, it's not just car wraps, it's not just people holding posters over the highways, it's people handing out flyers at sporting events. That was that was really serious, and that takes some dedication.
I was sort of expecting that the rainbow Frohwig guy to get in on this, but it turns out he's in prison, which was weird. The guy known for holding up the John 3:16 sign and having the funny hair.
Oh, one of those guys.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that specific person,
but I
know the phenomenon you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Well, and the thing that that Jason did was he actually engaged with this We Can Know person and said he asked one of them, he writes, I asked one of them if he was sure about the end of times occurring on that date, and he assured me that he was. I then asked if I could have his name and number so that I could call him on May 21st. Sure, he said, and gave me the information. He then added, you better call me on the 20th.
There's two ways you could take that, I suppose.
What are they?
Well, okay. One is, I'm not going to be here on the 21st, so call me on the 20th. The other is, don't call me on the 22nd, because that will be bad.
I suppose that certainly is another way you could take it. Yeah, I mean, I wonder what people do on the 20th or the 21st. I mean, how will they say goodbye to each other? That kind of thing. And also, I'm curious, what time on the 21st does this take place?
This is something we've been talking about. As an applications developer and an internet savvy guy, which will come into play later, I am used to dealing with Universal Coordinated Time, or UTC, otherwise known as Greenwich Mean Time. And that's the time zone that I used for the end of the world, figuring we work on the zero meridian, so must God. Apparently not, though. We recently received, I forget who from, but we received an email from somebody who said that it's actually Kansas time, because God lives in Kansas. Not Mount Sinai, not Jerusalem, not Mecca, not Brisbane, Kansas.
I suppose this would be the perfect opportunity to make a "we're not in Kansas anymore" Toto joke.
Ooh,
well,
yes.
Maybe we'll make that joke on the 22nd.
Maybe we will.
So thank you for all of our listeners who have shown us photos and reported where you've seen these billboards.
We are starting to get photos on our Facebook friends page. Just search Ask an Atheist on Facebook. And if you check the feed, there are people who are now taking pictures of the billboards. Our plan is now underway to work with these photos.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, we have a caller actually on line one, and I'm not sure if this is in regards to We Can Know or We Can't Know, but Mark from Portland, Oregon actually wants to know if we are terrified of dying.
Yeah, but before then I have to relate a sad story, and that my birthday is May 22nd.
Oh!
So I was at the Free Thinkers Conference down here, and a fellow at the table suggested I get my presents early.
How is the conference going? Our producer.
It was terrific. P.Z. Myers and Josh Faust ended up at about noon today, and there were people that love your podcast there too. So good for you guys.
Well, thank you very much. Our producer, we were going to mention this. Our producer Beth is down there this weekend. Oh. So,
One of the themes that came up though was the fear of death, and you know, all of you. Briefly, are you guys afraid of this thing called death?
Hmm. Well, for my own part, I'm maybe a little frightened of how I get dead, because that could hurt a lot for a while. But actually, being dead doesn't frighten me that much. I mean, true, I'd rather not do it because, you know, I enjoy being alive. But the actual thought of not existing anymore, at least not being able to perceive anymore, not being able to do anything or think, I mean, it doesn't scare me at all, because what could that be like? How could that hurt? How could that be painful? You know.
Sam, what about you?
Well, this is interesting, because I'm actually working on an episode called Atheism and Dying, and the premise is I want to know what happens when we die, not in the afterlife sense, but in strict end-of-life care, how does an atheist deal with the process of dying? And so I've given it a lot of thought recently, and my take on it is I'm kind of like – I like Mark Twain on this one, and he says
–
you know, I wasn't alive for thousands of years before I was born and hardly noticed. And that idea, I've taken that to heart in a way where my own death doesn't bother me. What bothers me more and bothers me to this day are the death of other people, is my loved ones, my friends leaving me, and that and those stories and that in, and that, you know, from a strict informational perspective, those thoughts in their head are now not here anymore. They're gone. And that's a process I'm still going through. I haven't really resolved myself to that yet.
Along those lines, I have to wonder why religious people are sad when their loved ones die. They'll see them again, according to their beliefs.
Right.
And to some religious folks, and not all religious folks have an afterlife, and the permutations of what an afterlife looks like is as varied probably within religions as it is amongst religions and between religions. But it's something that also not only is difficult for atheists in terms of what happens, you know, when we die and our loved ones die, but also that interaction between our loved ones who maybe aren't atheists. And our family members. And we'll be exploring that a little bit more in an upcoming episode in a few weeks.
Anything to add to this, Mark?
No, I agree with what you're saying. And one of the things, too, is I'm glad that both state of Washington and Oregon is physician-assisted suicide.
Yes.
At the end, you know, to make the terrible, terrible choice at the end maybe less painful. But, no, good for you guys. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Mark, very much for your phone call, and we're glad that you enjoyed the conference in Portland, and we hope that there was a lot of sharing of ideas between freethinkers.
There was, and next year it'll be in Seattle.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, right on.
Okay.
You heard it here. Perhaps we'll see you there.
Absolutely.
All right, talk to you later. Wow, up in Seattle. I know last year we tried in Renton, and that didn't work out very well, so we should if it's now known going to be Seattle, I guess we should start the announcement now.
Yeah, well, we're always happy to have connections of free thinkers and very different groups and people come together, and it's always really wonderful when many types of people and from different, you know, geographic areas, even if they may be nearby, you know, come together and have an interchange of thoughts, ideas, programming ideas, things like that.
I do want to add something to the call. And that's, you notice I kind of ended on a melancholy note about the end of my friends. And I can just hear those religious minds ticking over on the other end of this radio saying, I bet we could get that guy. I'm looking forward to your call.
Please do call us if you're looking to tempt Sam into something at 253-584-1480. Also, if you are listening to us after 4 p.m. today, you can always ask the atheist by submitting a question via our email site, askanatheist.tv.
Now, there's one more email about that starts off with information about We Can't Know and starts to kind of go into our topic that I'd like to cover. And this is from Andrew from Maryland.
Go ahead, Sam. Would you like to read it?
Sure. And I will go, hi, first, do you have a version of the countdown to backpedaling clock that I can put in the sidebar of my blag? If not, do you mind if I steal or borrow your code? And as the chief cook, coder, and bottle washer of Ask an Atheist, this is me saying, go right ahead, borrow it. Let's call it Creative Commons, Commons license. I'll go ahead and add it to the code later today. Borrow it. Do what you like with it. Just, you know, give us some credit and let us know what you did with the code, and we're good. And I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Now, Sam, for our non-tech-savvy listeners, we're not talking about any kind of secret code or Da Vinci code or a code written on the back of any kind of national document or anything.
All right, let me put on my pocket protector and beanie for a minute here. And this is the JavaScript and the HTML for the WeCan'tKnow.com site. It's all published. There's no back end to it. It's all in JavaScript and HTML, and it's all available there. Just borrow it and laugh at a couple of the jokes in the JavaScript and have a good time.
Excellent, excellent. So Andrew continues with some things. Secondly, if surveys I've seen are correct, then the Seattle-Tacoma area is a hotbed of liberal, godless atheism, and the water in Puget Sound is actually baby Jesus' tears.
Yikes.
I'm not sure if there's evidence for that exactly. But Andrew from Maryland continues, I live in Maryland, which is pretty much the same way, except the reason the Chesapeake is so polluted is the runoff from our heathen sacrifices. I think Andrew's speaking a little tongue-in-cheek here. What do you guys think, Kate?
Just a little bit, yeah.
And yet, Andrew continues, I've met a number of people at local atheist meetups who are in the closet, either at work or with their families, people who are afraid that if they're known to be atheists, they'll lose their business. And he continues, I imagine you're in touch with the Seattle atheist scene, so I'm wondering if you have a feel for how prevalent this attitude is up there. Presumably, it's a lot easier to be an atheist in Seattle than in Texas or in Alabama, but I'm wondering how many atheists don't feel comfortable coming out completely.
Why don't you go ahead and take this one first?
Well, if you want to know the truth, most of the people that I hang out with, most of my friends here in Seattle, I don't know if they're atheist or religious because it just plain doesn't come up. I have a few that I've discussed religion with, but for the most part, it's just not an issue at all.
That's very good. That's sort of the Seattle view of it, I would imagine. You're up there, right?
Yes. I live up on Capitol Hill.
So down here in Tacoma, which is where I'm from, I used to be very circumspect about it, and part of that may be because there is some religious stuff down here, which is kind of part of the reason we're happy to be on the radio down here, but also because I didn't know the area very well, and I spent 7 years in Arizona before I moved up here, and atheism there, not quite as well accepted.
Well, Andrew suspected that maybe it was difficult to be an atheist in Texas or Alabama, kind of the same in Arizona.
Kind of almost exactly the same in many ways, but as far as I am a small business owner, perhaps you've heard of my company, and in fact, you may be hearing about my company in the next few moments. But I've been very circumspect about religion for the most part for the history of the company. I haven't mentioned it at all. I haven't really gone to my clients and said, you know, hey, I'm an atheist, because it hasn't been appropriate. It's about technology. But when it's getting a little harder to do now, because the first thing you do when you walk into my office is you look to your right and you see the 4 SCAN awards we won for the Ask an Atheist show. So.
And SCAN refers to the public access television channel that we were on in Seattle before we joined up at the radio station in Lakewood.
Do you know the political scenario up in Seattle? Do you know how atheism plays in local politics? Or?
Well, as I say, it just doesn't come up much at all. I mean, I can't recall actually, you know, in the few times when I've paid attention to the politics up in Seattle outside of a voting year, I've just never heard anyone mention it.
Okay.
It really doesn't come up.
Fair enough. So this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to take a couple minutes of a break, and we're going to get to our topic, which is atheism and the internet. We'll see you in a bit.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Join the Ask an Atheist after party at Doyle's Public House. The Ask an Atheist crew will be there at 5 for good beers, food, food, and you're invited. You'll find a dozen beers on tap, including Stella, Guinness, Smithwick's Irish Ale, Twisted Thistle IPA, and Fuller's London Porter, as well as dozens of domestic and imported beers and bottles. Join us for Good Atheist Conversation and meet the crew today at 5 at Doyle's, 208 St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Hi, welcome back to Ask an Atheist. We're accepting calls until 4 o'clock today at 253-584-1480. We also accept emails at any time during the week at askanatheist.tv. Now, I am Becky, and with me today are Kate and Sam. Today, I wasn't originally going to be on the air. We were going to have our dear friend, Deanna Joy. Unfortunately, Sam, where is Deanna Joy?
She's right now at Harborview Hospital, on the mend. She had a bit of a tumble on her bike and unfortunately damaged her leg pretty bad and is kind of stuck there and cannot be with us today. So
we want to give our best wishes and a wonderful shout-out to Deanna Joy and her wonderful husband, Rich, who our listeners have heard as well. You can also hear from them at their blog and their podcast,
Living After Faith. It's one of my new favorite podcasts, and definitely check them out. And you will definitely be hearing from Deanna on our show as time goes on. She was going to be on today with us because she definitely has something to say about today's topic, but unfortunately, luck happens. So
yeah. So feel better, or I'll hurt you.
So we'll take one more email. We'll do the email from Derek from the internet.
If you email us in, please just let us know where you're emailing from. We always like to announce where you're calling from or emailing from, and we love to have listeners and callers and emailers and interaction from all over the world. So, what does Derek have to say, Kate?
Well, we can probably read it.
Oh, yes. Certainly. Sam, would you like to read Derek's email?
All right. Is there a stronger word than atheist I can use to define myself? True, I don't believe in gods, but I take it one step further in that I believe religion is a poison that must be purged from our society before any of the major problems of said society will be resolved, e.g. wars and violence religions cause, dehumanization of homosexuals, etc.
Well, we do actually have a word like that. Christopher Hitchens has been using the word anti-theist quite a bit. Anti-theist is, the idea behind it is basically that if religion were true, it would be a terrible, terrible thing. That religion is just full of just horrible, horrible ideas, horrible things that are expected of us, and stuff like that. So, yeah, we do actually have a word for stronger than an atheist. At the same time, there has been some controversy surrounding that word. I've heard some people say that anti-theist doesn't actually mean that, but I think Christopher Hitchens has popularized it to the point where the meaning has changed.
Can I sneak in a little bit of our later debate in and say, is there any nomenclature, is there any terminology in the atheist visibility movement with which there has been no controversy?
I don't think so. I can't think of any. Although there is a word I've tried to popularize that so far I have not heard anybody whinge about.
Okay.
And that would be epistivist, where atheism refers to belief, epistivism refers to faith. I am an epistivist in that I have no religious faith.
Yeah, that's. I actually like that one, and I will use it myself because I like the fact that it's specifically speaking about faith.
Yeah, well, that is probably my biggest issue with religion, is the belief without proof problem.
Right. I've called myself anti-dogmatic in the past, but that's a bit more inclusive than anything specifically dealing with religion. And I have suggested to people the anti-theist thing before, but there is sort of a debate there in that I'm an atheist. I'm not necessarily an anti-theist. I'm not against the concept. I'm against the concept of God. It's a bit of a weird place to be, but I'm not against the idea of religious people.
Well, for my own part, I'm against most of the religions I've heard about. Most of the dogma I find poisonous. But there could be a beneficial God, a benign God out there that I wouldn't mind living under.
Right.
So in that way, I'm not necessarily an anti-theist in the Christopher Hitchens sense. But at the same time, most of the gods I've heard about, I would rather fight against if I could.
Okay, that fair enough. So I guess Hitchens defines it as against the very concept of God. How about for people who are against the concept of organized religion? Because I've heard anti-theist used in both contexts.
I'm sure it's flexible enough to cover that, but I haven't heard anything specifically that says I'm against organized religion. I mean, anti-dogmaist or whatever the word you were using, that could actually serve the purpose, I suppose.
Right, and there's also the idea that it's an emergent quality. It's something that the detractors of anti-theism have suggested, is that people who describe themselves as anti-theists might be closed to evidence. And I'm not certain that's true.
I don't think that anti-theism has anything to do with whether or not the religion is true. It only has to do with whether or not the religion is a good thing. Having the religion is a good thing. I mean, Christopher Hitchens has flat out said that if God did exist, especially the Abrahamic God, that he would absolutely hate it, that we would be living in a kind of world where bad things happen to us all the time at the whim of this deity.
That's almost to go into speculative theology for a moment, that's almost a Gnostic concept of the demiurge, of the god who creates but is kind of a jerk and shouldn't be worshipped. And so that, you know, I guess you could say that kind of anti-theism is that Gnostic principle taken to its logical end.
More or less, yeah.
Okay.
Now, we also have some other terms in the atheism visibility movement. I know that, or in popular media describing the atheist visibility movement, that's strong atheist or hard atheist versus soft atheist. What do you guys think about those terms?
Actually, you are definitely an expert on this.
Oh, so. Well, I love those terms. I think those are great terms because there has been a change coming in the atheist movement. We've been trying to, well, not actively, but over time, the definition of the word atheist is sort of shifting. Because for a very long time, it was kind of theistically biased, where atheist referred to someone who actively disbelieves in God. But there are a lot of people out there who define themselves as atheists simply because they have no belief in God.
Right.
And lacking belief but not actively disbelieving is what we might call weak atheism or soft atheism, whereas someone saying, no, I'm pretty darn sure that there's no God, that religion is not true, that would be hard atheism or strong atheism. And I like that a lot more because we have an umbrella category of atheist for non-believer, and then under that we have subcategories to introduce different kinds of non-belief.
Now, let me pose a question to you specifically about the show. Is that one of the things that we've tried to do with the show, and me specifically have tried to do the show, is keep the phrase atheism as simple as possible, and to what I call the two-word definition, which has been debated back and forth by people on YouTube, is no God, and that's it. Is that any time you leave the no God concept, you're kind of going off the farm, the atheism farm, and going into something else. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I believe that isn't no God, but that's humanism.
I mean, I agree with that definition to a point. I think I would rather say non-believer, because as I understand it, theism is belief in a God.
Right.
So to leave the belief word out of your definition, I think is to miss the point.
Okay.
I know, Sam, you have in past episodes talked about how if you are an atheist, it's more of a pragmatic way to go about your life. You act as if there is no God.
Right.
Does that reflect on any kind of belief or necessarily?
Well, I think in certain respects it does. If you're admitting the two-word definition, I think it does speak to belief. And then you can start talking about strong atheism and weak atheism as modifiers on the topic. But when we get to the root of atheism, which is what the show is about, which we need a root definition to work from, I like to work from simplest principles possible and work our way up. And that's why I say with no God. And then we start talking about beliefs, because not even supernaturalism is necessarily outside of the atheism Venn diagram, is that there are people who are atheists and do not believe in gods, yet believe in a supernatural world. Are they still atheists? I think they are.
I agree. I completely agree. I mean, I'm not saying I believe in the supernatural, but I could be convinced of it, and it could be a supernatural that includes no God whatsoever. So yes, I'm with you on that one.
Now, there's one or two more definitions that I want to suggest to our emailer, Derek, because if he wants something, a word that's stronger than atheist to define himself, there have been some folks that have reclaimed the term heathen and heretic. And so if that suits you, Derek, then I invite you to call yourself a heathen or a heretic. I know that one of the Humanists of Washington social meetups that we have in Seattle pretty regularly is called Heathens Do It Better, and we have breakfast every month.
Well, along those lines, I mean, mind you, this is completely tongue-in-cheek, but I have on occasion described myself as a rabid and screaming atheist. You know, and as I say, tongue-in-cheek, I'm not actually rar, but, you know, you get the idea. That is, I think, stronger than just atheist.
She's had her rabies shots, folks.
Well, one more email, and I think that'll take us right into the topic.
This is from Deborah in nearby Marysville, just north of us. I've been an atheist for almost 2 years now, Deborah writes, and just recently heard about Atheists in Washington. I just wondered if you get together at times like ACA does. ACA, she's referring to Atheist Community of Austin, Austin, Texas.
Which is, I guess, the mothership, the Atheist Experience. Again, one of the shows which had a place that helped us get started and some great people there. And I think they're on right now. And
they are simultaneously broadcasting. But Deborah writes about this, and we have some suggestions for Deborah, and it leads us into our topic of atheism and the internet, or atheism in the internet.
There is the direct answer of her question first, which is, do we get together after the show just like the ACA does? Yes, listen to the commercials. We are actually meeting at Doyle's. But here's the thing. She emailed this to us on the internet, and atheism and the atheist visibility movement would not be where it is today without the internet. And more personally, Ask an Atheist would not be where we are today without the internet.
And if you would like to ask us any questions, call us in at 253-584-1480.
And so it brings me the question, and the guys on the Atheist Experience sometimes agree with me on this one, is that we sometimes, I think, atheists on the internet tend to look like a bunch of blowhards, to put it mildly. We're loud, we're rambunctious, we get in people's faces on our YouTubes as much as you can get in people's faces when you're in little boxes separated by thousands of miles. I think sometimes, and here's the thing, is one of the things I want to say first off is I'm not interested in changing the way people act on the internet. What I want to do is point out behaviors on the internet and talk about perceptions on the internet, because I believe that atheists, because we have to be so introspective and because we have to be critical of things, we should be critical of ourselves as well, and we can take a look at our behavior and see how it might be perceived. And this is something you talk a bit about on your channel. So.
A little bit. To something you said before, as for how we're perceived, I myself, on my YouTube channel, which is Bionic Dance, look it up, I try to be less PBS and more MTV.
Yes. That's actually a very, I've actually used that description of you completely independent of just that. I'm pretty happy that I hit the nail on the head there.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, I would like to try to make atheism accessible on the internet to ordinary people who might look at us as blowhards or weirdos or whatever, however you might perceive us.
Right. And that's the first thing is I think the atheism visibility movement has done right, especially when it comes to YouTube, which this episode is going to be pretty YouTube heavy because that's what our resident expert does, is it's taken atheism out of the hands of people with graduate philosophy degrees and write huge books, and it's really allowed people like, well, me, for example, with a degree and very little, to actually be a part of the atheism dialogue and to make it a really functional working lifestyle. I mean, certainly I imagine you'd agree with that one.
Well, I mean, goodness knows that a lot of my life has started to center around my YouTube career. But as far as atheism on the internet, I mean, YouTubers have definitely found each other
right.
this way. I mean, one of the things we were going to talk about is that the internet lets you no longer feel alone, especially for people who might be in some area of the country that is very, very religious and you're like the sole atheist living there. You can hop on the internet and talk to some sympathetic ears, and that is definitely a good thing for people.
Absolutely. But the other side of that is, as an example, I will give you my Facebook friends page. I tend to be more on the Facebook and on the YouTubes. I sound like I'm 80, but if you look at my Facebook friends page, you'd think there were like maybe 4 religious people in the world. And if you look at my YouTube friends page, you think there might be no religious people in the world. And I think do you think that separation from other groups and other modes of thought sort of gives us the impression that we're a little bit farther along in the debate and the process than we might be otherwise?
Well, it certainly can. And I suppose at least in my personal internet world, yeah, you might get that impression. But I do have some friends who talk about how they grew up in a very religious area. And they have some people that are still on their Facebook that are very, very religious.
Right.
And whenever they bring up an atheist topic, because these are some other atheist YouTubers, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I should shout them out or not, but they have Hello, The Other Side 100. But they have actually said that they've had these weird conversations with theist relatives, theist friends, that kind of thing, and have even blocked some of them from Facebook simply because they've put out these ideas and are not open to criticism.
Right. Yeah, there's been some of that on both sides. And that's, I think, the weakness of the internet is that now, unlike mass media, where we're basically forced to watch the same 4 channels for the 10 o'clock news, we can go seek things out. And as an atheist, and as somebody who is a bit of an activist and feels himself a part of the visibility movement, I seek out other atheists so that we can communicate and coordinate. And it gives me a view of the internet that is very slanted towards atheism. Whereas if you look at the family radio group of people, they have their own websites and their own forums and they go to their own places and the internet looks completely different to them. And very little do the fringes very rarely touch.
So we have a very wide Venn diagram with very little overlap between the family radio types and the atheist and bionic dance and ask an atheist types.
Yeah,
is that what you're
the
getting
Venn
at?
Diagram looks a little bit like a pair of sunglasses, I guess is what I'd say.
I suppose the overlap doesn't necessarily come from the internet. I mean, we've had some of the billboard campaigns that have happened recently. The we can know, we can't know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we'll get most of the overlap, not necessarily from the internet.
The interesting thing there is that those are not part of the atheism visibility movement, or not part of the internet. They're definitely part of the visibility movement, but they're part of something that happens in real life, not on the internet.
Yes.
However, they were entirely coordinated on the internet.
And we'll be back after this break. We're accepting calls until 4 p.m. today at 253-584-1480. Ask Becky, Sam, or Kate, the atheists, any of your questions. We're talking today about atheism and the internet.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Join the Ask an Atheist after party at Doyle's Public House. The Ask an Atheist crew will be there at 5 for good beers, food,
food, and you're invited. You'll find a dozen beers on tap, including Stella, Guinness, Smithwick's Irish Ale, Twisted Thistle IPA, and Fuller's London Porter, as well as dozens of domestic and imported beers and bottles. Join us for Good Atheist Conversation and meet the crew today at 5 at Doyle's, 208 St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist, where we're accepting your calls till 4 p.m., 253-584-1480. I'm Becky. I have Sam and Kate with me. We're talking about atheism and the internet.
So, a little difficult getting into this one, given that I think you're good at it. But one of the problems I feel that atheism on the internet has, is the idea of iconoclasm, is that YouTube especially, but YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all of these things, because of the nature of social media networks, it's really good at building personalities. And sometimes I think some people see atheism as a way to catapult their particularly, and actually usually, let's be honest, acerbic personalities. I don't accuse you of that, but I think we've both seen it.
Oh, absolutely. There are definitely people out there on YouTube who have tried to build themselves up into what I suppose we could call a celebrity.
Right.
And, you know, some of them are very measured and calm. Some of them are, you know, complete jerks, let's face it. And some of them are hilarious, you know. Some of them are actually pretty decent representatives of the atheism movement on YouTube.
Yeah, and I'm not saying don't get mad. That's not what this is about, because, man, there's a lot of stuff to get mad about out there.
Absolutely.
And, but, you know, the thing is the theory here that people are using atheism to propagate a personality, rather than using personality to propagate atheism. And sometimes I think people kind of get mixed up on that. And the friends and the followers, and it all comes together, and it becomes about my show rather than trying to be an activist.
Yeah, and I've had to deal with that myself on my own channel. I mean, I've had to put down a couple of incipient cults of bionic dance. Believe me, it's happened. And there are certainly some people out there who have, whether they cultivated them or not, have a kind of cultish following, who have what you might call an internet army.
Right.
And again, I'm not sure if I should name names, but I've had one of them aimed at me personally. So, yeah, it's definitely true.
Well, if it's a public debate and it's happened in videos, I'm pretty sure you can name names there.
If you remember the guy Pat Condell, who has like about 100,000, maybe 200,000 subscribers at this point, he has taken a very hardline stance against Islam in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started watching him, his videos were a bit more general and were a bit more about religion and atheism. And he sort of moved into this weird militant phase of his. And all I said was that I thought he should branch out a little bit more, that he was focusing too much on Islam and I'd like to see other things. And his army landed on me like a brick anvil.
Yeah. Pat Condell was kind of one of the people I was looking at when I was doing research on this. And I'm not necessarily accusing him of the of iconoclasm, but what I will suggest is as he gets more into this Islam in the UK, which I understand some people are really concerned about, and it's encroachment of religion on an emerging secular state. I get that. I really do. But is sort of what Mike would call the Lou Dobbs effect. Lou Dobbs says something about a topic, and then he gets a lot of positive press. And whether or not you agree with the topic or not, this is definitely something which occurred in the media. And so he says something a little bit more out there about the topic, and he gets more. And the peanut gallery comes in and says, yeah. And every time he gets a little bit further out there, every time his orbit gets a little bit more eccentric, he gets a little bit more praise from a specific peanut gallery. And suddenly, when you thought you were in the middle, you're now way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that certainly can happen. I'm not sure if that's what happened to Pat Condell, but I've seen it happen to other people. I actually suspect Pat Condell really believes his own rhetoric.
Okay.
Now, mind you, that's just a suspicion. I don't know for certain. But some other YouTubers have found that he has affiliations to groups that, are proponents of this anti-Islamist
thing. But it also introduces the problem here where his peanut gallery is not him. His minions are not him, and maybe he's a little bit more nuanced than he might appear because of his fans, but his fans are real protective of him, and they and it that you know what, that's definitely something which I've seen happen to you is you make a really good video and then some folks come out of the some folks pro and con come out of the woodwork and have a battle royale on an episode of our show on YouTube. It's happened a couple times where you've actually had to step in and kind of get it under control.
Okay.
And this is another problem I have with the internet and is specifically sort of the peanut gallery effect.
Well, I think a large part of the problem with the internet is that if you say something offensive or if you decide to, I don't know, really rip into somebody, they can't punch you. And
right.
So you can say whatever the heck you like.
Yeah. Another effect of that, and I think you'll understand that and understand this a little bit well, a little bit based on different approaches, is that you're talking to atheists on the internet. We put the show on the internet, and a lot of our fans are atheists. However, and this is something we said on Scan, and we haven't really said recently on the show, our end users, that's a computer thing, our listeners, our target audience is not really atheists. We hope atheists enjoy the show, and occasionally we will deal with topics that are specifically interesting to atheists, like the one we have today. But really what we're hoping for, and the reason we're not a podcast but a radio show on broadcast radio, is that we want to bring sort of the atheist world, we want to make it visible, warts and all, to people who are not atheists. And that's easy to do on mass media and very hard to do on the internet.
It's true. It's true. When you're looking for something on the internet, it's usually something you specifically are seeking out. You don't get very many of the random passersby.
Right.
And that is something that I've tried to change a little bit for my own videos, but it's difficult because where do you post a YouTube video where it will be welcome and watched that's not an atheist part of the internet?
Do you think that something involved in tagging and keywords helps promote either Ask an Atheist or any of the YouTube videos, the Bionic Dance YouTube videos that you produce? Do you think that tagging with different keywords promotes other people other than atheists being able to access our content?
Well, I do notice that people seem to respond to certain provocative titles. The tags, as far as I can tell, seem to really only bring up specific advertising on YouTube. I may be wrong about that. I suppose I could run an experiment to find out. But, the video of mine that seems to be most viewed by theists is the one about objective morality not existing. That's
right.
The one they comment on the most. I don't know how they find that one specifically, but that seems to be where they are.
I can tell you for Ask an Atheist, recently a lot of truthers have come out of the woodwork on our truther episode several months after we produced it.
And what is truther? What are you referring to, Sam?
The 9/11 truther movement, which are the people who believe that 9/11 was perpetrated by the government, as if the government was competent enough to hide that from everybody. Weird. And not political. Just, I don't think people can really perpetrate that kind of conspiracy and not have it noticed. That is not a political statement. Not a political statement. The politics here does play a thing. Does play into this is that atheism, the atheism visibility movement, is not the first, but one of the first movements to really be prosecuted on the internet and via the internet and using the internet as a tool. Which means that the guts of our movement, the internal squabbles and internecine warfare that happens. For the atheism movement happens online in front of anyone, and anyone can go take a look at it and see that we're having a disagreement on that, and then suddenly we're fighting all the time and everybody hates us, and we hate everybody.
Well, I can only speak to YouTube on this one, but I noticed that most of the fighting started when the theists started to thin out. I mean, 2-3 years ago on YouTube, theists were everywhere. We had people to argue with, people to debate, people to pwn, you know, all of that stuff where we could just, you know, really hit hard against people who were arguing back. But it seems like the theists have kind of abandoned YouTube. Not completely.
Are they going to GogTube?
Is there such a thing?
Yes, there is.
Oh, gee. Wow. Okay. I had no idea. But they all do seem to have thinned out quite a bit. I mean, Venom Fang X is back. But,
right.
You know, we don't have the volume that we used to have. And so
but
the squabble started as soon as the theists thinned out. Then all of a sudden we have, atheist A arguing with atheist B and accusing each other of all kinds of crazy stuff.
But doesn't the fact that now that the theists are gone and the YouTube atheists are starting to fight with each other, doesn't that suggest a sort of siege mentality where we're all expecting a fight, and now that we're not being trifled with any longer, now we're just fighting with each other?
It does seem that way, yeah. And I, at least for myself, I've done my part to try and combat that by still addressing issues of belief and faith and dogma and all of that stuff. But I admit, I'm just one person. There's only so much I can do.
Right.
And yeah, it does seem as if we've been fighting amongst ourselves for far, far, far too long.
And the other thing is you mentioned Venom Fang X, who I think is one of the finest pieces of unintentional entertainment on YouTube. And I'm not saying don't address him, don't look at him, don't have fun with it.
It's possible we should explain who he is.
Venom Fang X is a guy up in Canada, a kid up in Canada, who had a sort of a platonic love affair with Kent Hovind, known creationist and tax evader. Where he got in trouble at Blockbuster for distributing his videos and stuff like that. And he's I won't say that he specifically Bionic Dance's opposite number, but you're in opposite camps.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, it's kind of crazy how close to him I am in some ways. I mean, sure, I prefer Star Wars. He loves superheroes. Yeah, he worked at Blockbuster. I worked at a different video store. We're very similar, Venom Fang X and I. But when he saw Superman Returns, it converted him into a theist. That's and weird. I just had a really good time.
I can hear Mike's bit being chomped at in the other room. Well, the thing is, and here's one problem I have with fighting with people on YouTube, is we don't win anything when we pwn Venom Fang X. One, it's easy. Two, once we do it, he has no purchase on the international dialogue about religion, whereas the Pope does. You know, or Ken Hovind even does. I would even put Ray Comfort in this category. Is he's you don't really hear about Ray Comfort outside of the atheism movement. You hear about his 80s heartthrob Kirk Cameron, when he's on The View and stuff like that. But when we defeat these people, or when we get in it with these people on YouTube back and forth with the videos, we don't win anything. Maybe it helps us sharpen our tools, but we're acting like this is the war when it's really just a skirmish.
Well, it is a skirmish, but wars are made up of skirmishes. I mean, if my videos help one person solidify their beliefs, and hopefully those beliefs are atheistic, but we'll see, then I've kind of done some good somewhere. I'm not completely ineffectual, and I think that's an important fight to be fought, even though it's a small battle.
Now, we have here a difference of approach and opinion between Kate, Bionic Dance, and Sam, a producer of Ask an Atheist, where, Kate, you've said that if you have changed one person's opinion, and hopefully the goal is changing them towards an atheist viewpoint, then you will have felt satisfied with that. Sam, you have talked about this as a producer, that your opinion on this differs.
My opinion on this is different, and I think I'll wrap up with this one. Is once again, if you're an atheist and you're listening to our podcast or you're watching us on YouTube, thank you for your time and your support, and a lot of you have donated to the show. And I really appreciate that, and we all really appreciate that, and we're glad you're fans, and we want you to stay with us, and we've got some content for you, and we've even got some events coming up for you as well. But bear this in mind. You're not our target audience. Our target audience are the people listening to us on AM radio. Our target audience is your friends who still believe. Our target audience is your parents or your children or your grandparents, the people who don't really know who we are and what we're about. And this is essentially what the internet has allowed us to do. Is if we were just putting together a cable access show or an AM radio station, say 15 years ago, when the internet didn't have the ascendancy that it has now, most of you wouldn't be hearing us, and our voice wouldn't be going as far out as it might have otherwise. And
we've gotten calls and letters and emails from Argentina, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Mexico,
and that makes you important. that makes you we see you as part of the show in many ways rather than just as listeners. And that's why the internet is important, and that's why this is why I spend so much time thinking about atheism on the internet, is because this is where it happens. This is where we have made things real. I'm really of the generation that grew up on the internet. I've been using Unix my whole life. I know the protocols. I can recite RFCs from memory. This is what I do, and it's important to me, which is why I sometimes feel it necessary to take an opposing side and question how we're prosecuting the movement on the internet. And that said, everybody who's in on it, thank you very much. Thank you for the time you put in and the effort. You specifically, since you're in the room, hello. And the internet is where we're putting this together. And Mary who emailed us?
Deborah. Marysville.
Deborah in Marysville. Okay, I got it. I was thinking Mary in Deborahsville, but she might not know about us, and she wouldn't know if we were getting together if it weren't for the internet. And frankly, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for the internet. We wouldn't be in this room.
So thank you. I want to thank Sam and Kate, Kate Farr, a.k.a. Bionic Dance on YouTube, today for talking with me. My name is Becky Friedman. We're going to be meeting up at Doyle's. If you would like to continue the conversation, we're going to be there until about 7:30 or 8 this evening. Come talk with us. A few of our fans and other cast members will be there. We, again, want to wish our dear friend Deanna Joy best wishes for a speedy recovery. And we want to be hearing from you. Please check us out at askanatheist.tv. If you have questions for atheists on any topic, please submit a question. Click that big red button that says Ask a Question. We'd love to hear from you. Ask an Atheist is a production of NEDM Media. Our call screener and production assistant today was Mike Gillis. Again, I'm Becky, and with me, Sam and Kate. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening.
See you next time.
Have fun.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy.